This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 65, Dead Alive, a.k.a. Peter Jackson's Brain Dead. It's the little movie that could, from the little country that could, New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah. I think we have a lot of affinity with New Zealand here in Canada because
we're the plucky underdog.
Right,
they are in the shadow of Australia. And Canada is in the shadow of the 800-pound gorilla to our south, which is obviously a mega global cultural juggernaut. And we're struggling to get our own voices heard here.
I remember, in economics in high school, they said if the United States of America
sneezes
we catch a cold.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So basically what New Zealand is to Australia, we are to the United States.
Yeah, another analogy is the mouse sleeping beside the elephant.
Yeah.
It's totally apt.
So,
and, apart from, the Flight of the Conchords. I mean, you really hear very, very little from New Zealand.
Well, what we do in the shadows was a movie starring one of the Flight of the Conchords, which I review in the site, which is one of the best vampire movies I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. But yeah, I mean, hey man, I've been to Australia and I've been to New Zealand. I love both countries, but I gotta say, like, New Zealand is an amazing country.
I
adore New Zealand. So I mean,
it's a beautiful place, but I mean, culturally, like, you compare it to, what the Republic of Ireland has produced.
Well, okay, so
like your Samuel Beckett and your Oscar Wilde and whatnot.
Okay,
New Zealand, what
does Australia give us? In Excess of Midnight Oil? Like, come on, man.
AC/DC.
Okay, they also give us Kylie Minogue. So,
okay,
I mean,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, but they gave us Peter Weir. Like, fuck, he's a giant talent.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, that is
and
true.
And tons of good directors,
yeah,
great actors.
Great actors. And, yeah. But New Zealand gave us Peter Jackson.
True.
And I gotta say, I mean, this movie, this is Dead Alive, okay? This, for those of you that are fans of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, which, who isn't? I mean, I am. I love him. I'm not gonna say anything about the Hobbit trilogy. That was just terrible. But anyway, we're just gonna pretend it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
As I do the Star Wars prequels, they don't exist. Dead Alive, Chris, you were saying earlier that this movie was a bit of a flop in North America.
Yeah, big time. Luckily, he recouped his gates, which was, lackluster in the States. I believe it opened on 17 screens and was just a complete dud. And for a film that had a budget of $2.5-3 million, there were concerns that he wouldn't make back his investment until it blew up in New Zealand, winning the equivalent of their Oscars and whatnot.
But
yeah, it was in tough at the beginning.
Yeah, and of course,
and getting banned in different countries, like in Germany, and having bits like cut out, because this is an extremely violent film.
Right, but then of course being rediscovered after Lord of the Rings. But I wanted to just tell you a little story, and that is that when this movie was released theatrically, I used to subscribe to a magazine. I don't know if it's still on the stands anymore. I don't know if any magazine is still on the stands anymore.
Yeah.
Entertainment Weekly. And
probably still is, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember reading a little review of this film, and they gave it, surprisingly, for a damn gory horror movie, an A-. And they said it was horrifically hilarious. I mean, that's what this movie is. And, I was not a horror fan at the time. I mean, I've talked about, becoming a horror fan later on in my life on a previous episode, but I remember when I finally did get into horror, I was working at this this video store, and
now defunct, like all video stores.
Well,
sadly,
yeah, except for our beloved Suspect Video. But as much as this video store had a very bizarre collection, it had some really cool, bizarre horror movies that I would take home, including some like Filipino cannibal films and stuff. There are things they didn't have, i.e., the Italian horrors and the films of Peter Jackson. Right now, at this point in time, the only movies that this guy had made were these three little bizarre
curiosities.
One was his first film called Bad Taste,
which lived up to its billing.
The other one was this X-rated puppet show, take off on Muppets called Meet the Feebles.
Yeah.
And the other one was Dead Alive. Now, I needed to see this movie. Okay, knowing what I knew about Dead Alive and hearing that this is the goriest movie ever made, and to this day, people still say this is
the goriest.
Well, it's the
bloodiest. I don't know if it's the goriest, but the bloodshed, pound for pound, pint for pint, is beyond the pale.
Well, famous gorehound Eli Roth says that this is the only movie that will fulfill his actual craving for blood.
Nice.
Which will tell you how gory, you know, this movie is. But anyway, what I would do is I was working at this video store, and we would close midnight during the week, 2 a.m. on the weekends, right? I would lock the door at midnight. I would get in my car, and I would drive into the city, because at the time I was living in the suburbs, to a video store that is now defunct called After Dark Video. They maintain late hours. I would go in there. There was an employee by the name of Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-E-E, okay?
Okay.
I remember that. And we would talk and talk and talk for a couple hours, and then I would take these movies home, rent these movies that I couldn't find anywhere else, one being Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, okay? Now, After Dark Video was not the most scrupulous video store in the world, because they were actually renting dubbed VHS copies, like as if, you know, you take two VCRs, put them together.
Make a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it didn't fucking matter. I had Dead Alive. I took it home. Maybe it was 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 in the morning. I put it into my VCR. It was as if the Holy Grail was in my possession. And from the minute this movie started, when I pressed play, till the end, the glee I was experiencing, man. It was like my first sexual experience.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say. It lasted 20 seconds?
Actually,
no, it's a two-hour movie, or whatever it is.
Movie,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, you're being very charitable, Chris.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a softball. I had to knock it out of the park. Yeah, I know.
No, but honestly, that's how much, like, this movie, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. But, you know, and before we get into the plot, and I mean, I'm going to say again, once again, the plot is, it is a plot to this movie, but I mean, it's really just
secondary
to just a whole bunch of gore and set pieces.
Yeah, I got into this thing through research into an article that I wrote about the best angry monkey film. And so obviously you're going to pick, you know, Link and In the Shadows of Kilimanjaro and Monkey Shines and all this.
Phenomenon.
And then I thought, okay, what's this movie I hear about featuring a Sumatran rat monkey? And that, of course, was this movie. And so we start off with this Indiana Jones type naturalist who's out in the bush with a stereotypical native deferential guide, just, you know, in tow, just to do his bidding, and
he's got the vibes, man. This thing is evil.
Yeah, this thing is evil, and he's got a Sumatran rat monkey in a cage, and he's trying to, I guess, get it out of the country and take it back to his lab or God knows what to do research, and he's set upon by a bunch of spear-chucking natives that we're more familiar with from Italian cannibal movies.
Right.
And in the most hilarious scene of the movie, 5 minutes in, he's like waving, you know, a piece of paper saying, "Permit, permit, I have
permit.
A permit."
Yeah.
Like this pre-literate, you know, group of savages is supposed to be swayed by this, you know, evidence.
Piece of bureaucracy.
Yeah. So it's really hilarious. And that's how we know what kind of territory we're into. Very tongue-in-cheek, very hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a zoologist, really.
Yeah, naturalist,
Because the Sumatran rat monkey is bound for the Wellington Zoo. I mean, he gets bitten by this monkey. He gets the bite.
Yeah.
Or Zingaya, his guide says. And to prevent the spread of the infection, they hack off his hand, then his arm, and then his head.
Yeah.
And then the credits sort of roll, dead alive. And right away, you're just like, you know what you're in for. Well, you know, after that Cracker Jack opening, I mean, we're in this pastoral New Zealand, and we're
in this sort of corner store bodega that's being operated by one sort of Latina, you know, kind of an attractive young woman. Her name is Paquita.
And suspiciously not a Latina family, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And she's got a tarot card reading grandma who obviously foretells, you know, people's love lives and whatnot, and she does a card reading for her granddaughter and pulls up a love interest and says, "You will
something like the next fall
under the
meet
spell of this person, yeah.
And in walks Lionel Cosgrove.
Yes, into the store, yeah.
Nebushi Milquetoast, Mama's Boy, Lionel Cosgrove. Now, this character of Lionel Cosgrove, he was played by an actor by the name of Timothy Balm, who I thought was phenomenal in this movie.
Oh, fantastic, yeah.
I don't know why he hasn't been in more movies. Maybe in his native New Zealand he has been, but this guy is, I mean, he's a variable definition of your Mama's Boy. He is under the influence of this domineering, horrific battle axe of a mother, Vera Cosgrove. The actress that played her name is Elizabeth Moody. Unbelievable. She's totally hamming it up.
And she browbeats him into cutting the lawn to her exact specifications.
He goes, I just mowed the lawn. She goes, does this look like a well-maintained frontage? Like that sort of thing. And just completely just like destroying this poor guy, Lionel. And Paquita sees Lionel, and all of a sudden she's
It's almost like a Midsummer Night's Dream, where it's almost like she was supposed to. She fancied a different gent in the beginning, but because the cards foretold this, she ends up being smitten with this skinny 90-pound weakling Nebush.
Right.
And I forget how they happen to do this, but for some reason they arrange a date to go to the zoo. After he explains to her, she speaks obviously broken English, what a zoo actually is. He says, oh, there are animals there. So they say, okay.
Yeah.
They go to see what is now one of the featured animals there at the zoo, which is the Sumatran rat monkey.
Now, we know that this little bugger is vicious because the zookeeper says so. Actually, he calls him a little shit. And we also see the Sumatran rat monkey just like destroying another monkey and ripping him in half. And everything.
Well, yeah, because the Sumatran rat monkeys have a backstory. Apparently, this is disgusting. On slave ships, apparently, there are these giant, vicious rats, and when they came to land.
He's not a rat, he's vicious.
Yeah. When they came to land, they I guess mated forcibly with the domestic monkey population on the island or wherever the hell it was, and to create this hybrid creature.
So think about it, man. A rat
and a monkey
having forcible sex with a monkey.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty disturbing.
That's very disturbing.
And what's also disturbing is how close an eye the mother keeps on her son, and so she follows these future lovebirds on their first date to the zoo, and Vera is there, you know, checking out the monkey exhibit as well, and of course,
she's aghast to see her son with another woman. I mean, it's almost like a Norman Bates sort of thing, you know, like how dare my son be with
another woman come in between us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then she slips on a pile of shit and falls back into the Sumatran rat monkey cage and gets bitten. She then stomps the poor bugger to death with the heel.
Really sinister.
Damage has been done. And, I mean, she's just a zookeeper. I've been savage, you know? But
we know what that means when you're bitten by something in a movie.
Yeah.
So she goes home to recover from her wounds, and she's being tended to by her son, and this wound is starting to bubble and starting to fester.
Boiling and festering.
Yeah, it's
and
really
pulsating.
Disgusting.
And at one point,
Lionel
looks at it, and it just, like, it spurts this pus. It looks like strawberry yogurt, right? Just like, but when I say it doesn't dribble, it spurts.
Yes,
right?
but it
basically ejaculates the pus, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a disgusting movie, man. Yeah. We're going
to
get disgusting.
And that'll put you off your dinner if you're listening to this now, but that won't put her off her dinner plans, because the woman runs a little society called the Wellington Ladies Welfare League.
Right.
And they're having some sort of dinner party get-together. So, despite the fact that she's oozing.
Ailing
really
not
badly.
For this earth, yes.
No, and then she's going to attend this dinner being cooked and prepared by her son. Mm-hmm. That involves, I think it's steak what is it, some sort of porridge or custard or God knows what. Yeah, and during this repast,
before the repast, because as she's getting herself made up for the dinner, she tries to put some makeup on, and a big chunk of her skin peels off.
Yes, and that'll come into prominence.
And then Lionel goes and puts some super glue and glues it back on.
Fixes it back to her face, but it's not going to last, because mid-dinner, parts of this woman start falling off into her soup.
Yep.
And this is disgusting.
Pus is flying.
Yes.
And people are eating it. And then
she's eating her own ear, which at one point sloughs off her and falls into her dinner. It's disgusting. So obviously this, dinner party has to be adjourned fairly quickly. And these people leave, obviously, and...
Yeah, but not before having the pudding.
No, but enjoying it all the way, you know, all the same. And so they leave, and this woman starts to morph, and her ear falling off is not the worst thing that happens to her, because she starts to bleed and turn into just a... You know, a creature of the undead.
Yeah,
a disgusting zombie.
Yeah, and Paquita comes by with her dog Fernando.
Yeah.
And before you know it, Fernando's eaten.
Yes.
Completely, like, he consumed, although not really, because when Paquita says to Lionel, I mean, your mother ate my dog. And he goes, well, not all of it.
Not
he's
all
like
of
holding
it.
The
yeah.
tail.
Yeah.
But I guess at this point, Lionel realizes that the
mother is dead.
Or at least, undead. You know, very, very unwell. So he calls a nurse. Nurse McTavish is the
yes.
name. And
the nurse makes a house call.
Yep. And this poor, you know, Florence Nightingale, you know, she comes by. And what happens to her? Mama, Oscar, rips her head off.
Yes.
But it's not a clean rip. It's not a clean tear. Because basically it's kind of hung by, like, the back of her neck. By
yeah,
her
yeah.
Which, some great shots, like these upside-down perspectives and everything. But, so now we have dead Vera, and we have dead Nurse McTavish.
Yeah, good night, nurse.
And
the son, Lionel, I guess, grabs her meds, syringes, and sticks them up the nose of his mother and basically tries to battle her to the death, although she's already dead, in his own basement.
Yeah, he keeps him in the basement, and I mean... And then he's injecting them with tranquilizer, animal tranquilizer, keep them subdued.
Yes.
But then they keep on becoming...
Reanimated. Yeah.
Then at another point, he's going to visit Paquita at her bodega, and...
The mother emerges from the basement. That's the word, like George Romero, shambling down the main street, right in front of her store, at which point a bus comes along, smacks the woman, sends her flying into the store... And at which point Lionel quips, the hospital must have discharged her early.
Yeah.
But she is, at this point, they all figure that she's dead
right.
at this point, so they finally have a service.
Right, and this is one of the best funeral scenes in movie history.
Because she's still not dead.
She's still not dead.
Yeah.
And at one point, again, poor Lionel's wrestling with her, and they come crashing in while they're up to the assemble throng.
Yeah.
He was very close to his mother. Now, this funeral is being officiated by I believe his name is Father McGrady or McGrady. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but...
Kicking man of the cloth.
Exactly, because when they bury her, Lionel knows that she's not going to stay buried for long, so he comes back to the cemetery to administer her dose of tranquilizer. Meanwhile, there's a gang of hooligans, and they're pissing on, you know,
her grave.
And he goes, that's my mother you're pissing on.
Yeah, that's a line for the ages.
And,
you know, forget to play it, Sam, or what we got here is a failure to communicate.
You got it.
You're pissing on my mom. Or that's my mom you're pissing on,
or
whatever variant. That is a great line.
Yep, so then Vera, again, rises from the dead, and then, you know, she chomps on one of the hooligans, and of course he instantly becomes a zombie, and before you know it, the father comes out, because I guess priests live right by the cemetery. I mean...
I don't know what he was doing hanging out there, but
he
comes to the rescue of Lionel and says... he's a minister who, and I quote, kicks ass for the Lord.
He's got a black belt.
Yeah.
He's a karate-kicking minister.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, at one point, he's fighting one of the hooligans who's now a zombie, and he kicks he rips his arms off. Then he kicks his legs off. Then he kicks his head off. And again, very Monty Python-esque.
Yes.
Rail, you know, with the, you know, it's just a flesh wound.
It's only a flesh wound.
But unfortunately, you know, the priest meets his demise as well. He gets impaled on a statue. So there's yet another undead that poor Lionel has to contend with.
Yes.
So before you know, he's got about like eight of these zombies rotting away in his cellar and, you know, trying to keep him sedated with a tranquilizer. And along comes his Uncle Les.
His corpulent Uncle Les is sort of a John Goodman, sort of lecherous character who lusts after Lionel's girlfriend Paquita, and it's just basically a disgusting character.
Mm-hmm.
He, Lionel's trying to get rid of him, but he overhears some sounds coming, I don't know whether it's from the basement or the dining room, which is the sound of zombies getting it on.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about the dinner scene. Dinner scene where Lionel is
feeding the undead in his dining room. He's feeding them tranquilizers as they're sitting around a dining room table.
You know, we got to talk about Nurse McTavish again. She's got this, like, you know, her head was ripped off, so she's eating the oatmeal. It's oozing out of her trachea. And
yes.
Then during that, as they're eating, the priest and Nurse McTavish just get it on.
Yeah, getting it on.
Barry White was playing in the background. And instantly she becomes pregnant and pops out this disgusting baby.
A zombie baby.
Like anything, you know, the most disgusting baby this side of like Eraserhead or Combat Shop.
Yeah, or It's Alive or The Brood. Yeah, it's the vile, vile baby.
Insanity.
And that sets up, I think, the most inspired set piece among many in this whole movie where... for some reason, Lionel is taking it upon himself to take care of these zombies and also to take care of this young infant, which he pushes in a tram.
Well, they can't put the infant up for adoption.
I guess not. The snaggletooth, the creepy infant. He stuffs it into a pram, takes it to the park, and when the baby gets loose, Lionel starts smashing the bejesus out of it in front of these moms at the park.
It's just a crazy scene. Like mummy bloggers and
He slams its head against the the swing set, and he starts pummeling the thing, much to the shock and horror of all the park attendees.
Actually, not to get too pedantic, but that scene is Peter Jackson's favorite scene in the entire movie. Mm. That scene was not in the original script, but when they finished shooting the movie, they were $45,000 New Zealand dollars under budget, so they figured, let's do it.
Why not?
It works well. Anyway, Les, who's the brother of Vera, the mother, he was left out of the will, and he's a sleazy, skeezy guy, and he wants the property.
Yeah.
So he basically discovers these undead corpses living in the basement, and he threatens to call the authorities, and he only acquiesces when Lionel says, okay, I'll give you the money, I'll give you the house. He says, okay, I'll get rid of these fucking stiffs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, instead of giving them a tranquilizer, Lionel decides to give them poison.
Yes.
And kill poor mom all, once and for all. Because he's still a mama's boy, right? Uh-huh. Now, what, unbeknownst to Lionel, is that although the bottle says poison, it's maybe poisons to human beings, but it's actually animal stimulant, right?
Yes.
And I guess because these zombies were derived from a Sumatra rat monkey, they have some animal...
They have animal blood, yeah.
And this causes them to just become more vicious, more horrendous, more... this leads to this about 30 minutes of the most unbridled, unhinged mayhem and carnage you will ever see in a movie. And at this point he figures, hey, it's my house, let's throw a party. And people come by, and... it's just mayhem.
Yeah, when one of them turns, I guess Les grabs a meat cleaver and starts hacking with two hands. Actually, he might have two meat cleavers. I can't remember. Hacking at the recently turned zombies, and Lionel grabs a lawnmower.
Oh, but before we get to that, sorry to interrupt you, Chris. But when he's hacking away, there's a mountain of body parts.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And before the lawnmower, what we got going on here is we have flesh being ripped off
limbs.
A face.
Yeah, faces.
We have rib cages being ripped out. We have, flesh
intestines being ripped out, spinal cords being ripped out. Incredible.
When the intestines are ripped out, they then gain sentience and attack. We have fists being punched from the back of the head through the mouth. We have, a body being pulled through some sort of, dumbwaiter or something. And when it gets pulled through... the flesh is rendered off the legs.
Yes, incredible.
We have body parts being cleaved left, right, center, and every body part gains sentience. We have a head that's being punted around the entire apartment.
Yes.
And then gets put through a Cuisinart. We have a human jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
You see the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Amazing.
Now we'll talk about the lawnmower scene, because this is incredible.
Yeah, it's just, who would have thought they could have topped what preceded it? But, my God, just the richest, gaudy bloodletting that takes place with the lawnmower and just the body parts being strewn about. This is just 15 to 20 minutes of pure carnage.
Yeah. What about the scene when Lionel's trying to run and he can't get any traction because there's all this blood on the
ground? Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable.
So, the lawnmower. Yeah, so at one point, Lionel is, he's got to do something about this. So, he walks into the, he goes out, he comes back in, and he goes, party's over. And he's holding his lawnmower with the bottom facing out.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's maybe 30, 40 of these undead, and he walks through them, and he says the blade is whirring, and he is just...
Yeah, he's massacring everyone,
Body parts flailing, blood being... I read that the crew was pumping out the blood at
a rate of
5 liters per second.
Yeah.
He goes through them once.
Ten pints a second.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, it's just... incredible.
It's as many pints as we've consumed together in the last hour, but we digress. Yeah,
exactly.
Just incredible.
Just, it's a bloodbath. It's a fucking bloodbath. But, you know, you hear us describing this, and if you're not familiar with this movie, you might think, well, this is one of the most disgusting things ever. It's charming.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious. It's funny. It's. I don't understand how you can be repulsed by this. Maybe this says something about you and I and our sensibilities.
Oh, for sure.
But it's so funny that, you know, any gastric distress you're going to have from this movie is not from retching from the gore. It's from laughing too hard.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
And there's very few movies that can pair humor and horror, because they both tend to suffer when these two elements are combined, and in very rare instances when they're not. Two of our favorites, obviously Evil Dead and Reanimator, mm-hmm. that managed to do it,
yeah.
or Shaun of the Dead.
Or
but you
the
can
video
count
dead
on maybe
is another one,
the
yeah.
video dead, maybe on two hands, the number of movies that can be as funny as they are disgusting.
And what about
no mean feat.
What about the lawn gnome stuck in the neck of another undead that lost its
oh
head?
Yeah, amazing.
Just
or the, like almost the propeller whirring of one of the torsos on top of the lawnmower blade just spinning around.
Oh,
just the most amazing, you know, plot be damned, set piece centric,
mm-hmm.
pretty much plot free movie, but just all about the set pieces, all about the disgusting carnage.
Yeah,
amazing.
Now, so I mean, when all is said and done, I mean, as much of a bloodbath this is, there is some subtext, as far as I'm concerned, because once again, Lionel is a mama's boy. He's like your Norman Bates sort of character. He's
yeah.
under the shadow of this domineering mother. Now, Vera ends up becoming this what I call Verazilla, this gigantic beast of a woman with gigantic pendulous breasts,
yeah.
and baldest ass, and Lionel gets consumed by her.
Yeah,
and
it's almost like he's reborn.
Yeah, because basically, what he does to vanquish her is he, early in the movie, Paquita is given this like talisman of some sort, and it goes into Lionel's
possession,
and he, from the inside of his mother, who he finds out, and I'm not going to spoil too much, his mother's not as saintly as he thought.
Yeah,
but we won't talk about that. He basically cuts his way
bores
out of his
his
mother,
way right through her uterus,
and this gigantic heap of intestines and gore just falls out, which is like the placenta.
Yeah.
And Lionel is reborn as a man,
mm-hmm.
you know? So he was once a boy and now he's a man. So that, even in this absolute gore fest, as well as like this complete farce, there's a bit of subtext, and it's just completely 100%.
Yeah, off the charts.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, as is my rating for this thing. 4-star for me all the way, for sure.
Yep.
It's just, again, you know, one of these can't miss them. If you like humor, you like gore, you love the two smack together. Amazing.
But
put humor and gore in a blender, if you will.
Press puree,
and you get this. Just amazing. And you give it the same, too. One of our absolute favorites.
Did you learn anything from this film?
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what I learned.
Okay.
How about that? Because, like I said before, I mean, going back to Peter Jackson, okay? So,
I learned that, I learned that one of the most celebrated Hollywood auteurs of our day
mm-hmm.
started off making these grubby, disgusting movies, and now he's a critical darling,
in
the way that Cronenberg is, but not even to the same extent.
Well, that's the whole thing, because
because he's more lauded than Cronenberg.
When I was late to horror, I was late to reading the Lord of the Rings, okay? Like, before the movie came out. So when I read the books, shortly thereafter, they announced that they were filming these movies. And I read that Peter Jackson is going to be directing this trilogy. I'm like, Peter Jackson? The man that made Bad Taste, Meet the Fucking Feebles?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that he was like, basically being given
the keys to the kingdom. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then there is this man, this you know, bearded,
hirsute, rotund little man, yes.
Standing up there, accepting an Academy Award, you know, for Lord of the Rings.
Yes, who would have thought?
Who would have thought? So what I'm saying is, you never know. I mean, no beginning is too auspicious. No beginning is too small. A guy that made what is considered to be one of the greatest movies of all time ended up becoming Hollywood royalty, winning an Oscar, even being knighted.
Yeah,
he's now
for sure.
Sir Peter Jackson. So
mm-hmm.
don't ever, you know, we celebrate low-budget cinema. Don't ever dismiss any independent filmmaker, because they could be the next Oscar winner. So what I've learned is that, you know, if PJ can do it. Anyone can do it.
For sure.
And, you said 4 stars. I'm going to give it 4.5 stars.
For sure.
Fucking love this movie, man.
And be sure to check out our 4.5-star website, www.reallyawfulmovies.com.
Hey, you're not sure, man. 5 stars.
No one is 5 stars. Oh. And, part of the Crypt TV family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.